Let us turn again to the chapter of God's Word which we read, Lamentations chapter 3, and we shall read from verse 22. Lamentations chapter 3 from verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. God had sent Jeremiah the prophet to warn the people about their sin and the danger that their sin would bring them into. Sin leads to death, and the inevitable punishment for the people was that they were taken into captivity, into exile. But while Jeremiah warned the people, he also sympathized with them. He says, in fact, in verse 1, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He himself had been cast into a dungeon, which we believe he refers to in verse 53. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a stone upon me. And yet, even though he was in the dungeon, he was looking up, he was praying. Like the psalmist in Psalm 130, who says, Lord, from the depths to thee I cried. Are we praying to the Lord in our depths? When we feel so low that we can hardly do anything, are we still, nevertheless, looking to the Lord? Well, Jeremiah was, though he struggled with unbelief, he was afflicted, and yet he was looking up, looking to the Lord, and he sets forth his experience as an example to others. And he is, while first speaking in the singular, saying in verse 18, I said, my strength and my hope has perished from the Lord. And yet he looks to the Lord. He says in our text, verse 24, therefore will I hope in him. Later on in verse 40, he speaks in the plural, as if he would ask others to join him. He is saying in verse 40, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. So he is calling others to join with him in seeking the Lord together. And he also encourages us to be patient instead of complaining in rebellion, that we would love the Lord instead of being bitter. Yes, friends, there is hope in our hardship. There is comfort in affliction. And he himself says that God had told him that he should not fear. Verse 57, thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidst, fear not. And it is through the mercies of the Lord that he has hope, that through the mercies of the Lord, the people, and himself included, are not consumed. And it is in the Lord that he has hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. And he says, I will hope in him. And Jeremiah and all believers are finding God to be their portion. And we should ask ourselves, whom do we have in heaven or on earth besides the Lord as our chief joy, as our portion? Jeremiah has hope in the Lord. He says, verse 21, this I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. And in the end of our text, verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. When we pass through affliction, what is our response? Is it bitterness or is it despair? Well, instead of either, afflictions should rather make us look to the real portion of our souls. Troubles should remind us that when everything is taken away from us here below, we still have God for our blessedness. And even if all things go wrong, we may still rejoice in God our Savior. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. And with the Lord's help, let us consider the mercies of the Lord, and secondly, the portion of the soul, and thirdly, the hope of the believer. And if God is not our portion this evening, how earnestly we should seek his face and his favor, that we would recognize that in his favor there is life, so that we would find him to be our all, yes, our very life. So, friends, seek the mercy of God in Christ, and wait upon him and hope in his word. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, so that we, that all of us, might be brought to say, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. First of all, the mercies of the Lord. Verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So as we mentioned already, God's people may become dejected. Jeremiah himself struggled with that despondency. And indeed, he passed through bitter experiences. He is speaking of the fact that he was filled with bitterness. Verse 15, he hath made me drunken with wormwood. It was such a bitter experience, such a horrible situation to pass through. All that he witnessed of the people's sin and suffering and his own affliction too. And he was brought at times even to the borders of despair. He actually says, we've quoted already, verse 18, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Almost hope was extinguished. Remembering verse 19, he says, mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. He was remembering these things. It was painful even to reflect upon these things. And how humbling it was, and it should be humbling. We should all be humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God when we are under afflictions that we receive from God's hand, remembering that nothing is by chance. All that we pass through in the way of hardship and discomfort is from the Lord, and we're to be learning in all of these things. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, verse 20, my soul hath them still in remembrance, and is humbled in me. So he's remembering these things. And then he says, verse 21, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Well, how can remembering the fact that hope was almost extinguished give him hope? Well, that is one interpretation indeed. The fact that according to this interpretation, the word this is actually referring to what he had just been speaking of. He is recalling his doubt and unbelief, and he recognizes that this is his infirmity. Yes, when he sees that he is on the border of despair, he then pins it down as unbelief. That is his problem. And when he recognizes that unbelief is the problem, he is brought to a better state of mind. He then comes to himself, as church says in Song of Solomon chapter 3, I will rise now. Friends, when we see our despondency, when we recognize it and see it for what it is, that it is rooted in unbelief, then we are helped and prepared to believe. You see, unbelief will blame everything else but itself. And when we recognize that unbelief is the problem, that unbelief is the root evil, then we are brought to a better mind and we're prepared to look above, to look to the hills of God's manifested grace from whence comes our true help. So he begins to focus on the mercies of the Lord. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Now, there is another view of the passage in regard to the word this in verse 21, and that is simply that this is referring to a new subject, that is, the mercies of the Lord. So he had been recalling his affliction and his despondency. And now verse 21, this I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. And what is this? It is of the mercies of the Lord that we are not consumed. And this is why I have hope, because of the mercies of the Lord. And when he considers the character of God, unbelief gives way to faith. That's what gives him hope. The character, the perfections of God, in particular, the goodness and mercy of God. So he says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Now, some were consumed. Some had perished in the siege. Some were executed by the sword. But a remnant were preserved. And why was that? Why were some preserved and not handed over to be executed? Why? Only because of God's mercy. And we need to remember that when we are delivered from hardship, when we look at ourselves and we should recognize that we suffer far less than many people all over the earth. Millions of people suffer far worse than we do. And why are we given so many comforts and enjoyments of this life? Because of the mercies of the Lord. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Now, friends, the reason that we are not consumed is not because we are less guilty than others. We are all guilty. We deserve to perish. Why are we not consumed? Why are we not destroyed? It is not because God is not powerful enough to punish us. He is almighty. He can cast us into hell in a moment. So why have we escaped so much suffering already? Only because of this, the Lord's mercies. The mercies of the Lord. And it is because God is God, and he is not like man. If God treated us as a man would treat us in the same circumstances, we would have been cast off long ago. But we read in Hosea chapter 11, or rather chapter 11 and verse 9, I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee, and I will not enter into the city. So you see, friends, the people of Israel, they sin, God pardons them. They sin again, he pardons them again, and again and again. But if God were to deal with us as a mere man would, he would have given up the people long before then. So it is with us. God does not treat us as we deserve. If he were to deal with us like a mere man, we would have been separated, cast off, with absolutely no hope a long time before now. And so what is our response to that? The effect of all this should be to make us go to the Lord in repentance. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The mercies of the Lord should encourage us to go to the Lord for that mercy manifested in Christ. God is merciful, and God's saving love and mercy is revealed in Christ. Are we being drawn to the Savior because of the goodness and mercy of the Lord to us? Now, the mercies of the Lord, this word, mercy, is also translated in other places, loving kindness. It is of the Lord's mercies, it is of the Lord's loving kindnesses that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. And the Lord has manifested that loving kindness in many ways. It is most of all manifested in Christ. And the loving kindnesses of the Lord are manifest in the good things of this life, temporal benefits that we receive every day. Notice how it is in the plural, the mercies of the Lord. There's a variety of mercies and benefits and enjoyments that we receive every day? And are we thankful to the Lord for these things? And is the goodness of God leading us to repentance? Then also he speaks about the compassions of the Lord. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. And the word compassions is also translated tender mercies in other places. For example, Psalm 51, verse 1, where David speaks to the Lord, "According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." So God is full of mercy. God is full of compassion. And it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. So think of that. If I remember correctly, it's the very same word used in both places, that is consumed and failed. In other words, we are not consumed because God's compassions are not consumed. We are not finished off in destruction because God's compassion is not finished. God's compassion does not fail, so we are still here receiving mercy from God. God's compassions do not fail. The sun keeps rising, the rain continues to fall, the crops keep growing. God's mercies and compassions are being received all the time. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So we experience the unfailing regularity of God's mercies every day. And God is making it so clear to us in his word that all the good things we enjoy are from him. And especially we should be thinking about and thankful for the spiritual blessings that God's people receive from him. The fact that they are still looking to Christ, they are still endeavoring to press on, it is because of God's grace to them every day, constantly upholding them and keeping them from sinking in despair. Yes, they may be very low at times, so low that they feel that they are separated from God. They feel it's almost like death. But as we sang in Psalm 30, verse 5, "For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Yes, his compassions are new every morning. Why is this? Why do God's people receive a blessing from God continually? Because of the faithfulness of God. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The word faithful basically means, in the original, firmness or certainty. God is constantly firm and faithful in bestowing blessings upon us. He is merciful to us because he is faithful. In regard to God's people, they experience God's mercy and upholding grace continually. Why? Because God is faithful. He is truthful. He has promised to help them, and he will not go back on his word. It is his word that stands firm and sure. And that comes out in the free offer of the gospel, the offer of grace, the offer of forgiveness. And everyone who looks to Christ will certainly be saved, will assuredly be forgiven. So you see, friends, God is merciful, God is full of compassion, and his mercies and compassions do not fail. They are new every morning, because God is faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. God is not only faithful, but he is great in faithfulness. How willing he is to help us in our need. And does this attract us to the Lord? Does this stir us up to thankfulness for the mercies of the Lord, the compassions of God, which are new every morning. Every day we're receiving mercy upon mercy upon mercy from the Lord. The benefits, the blessings should all encourage us to go to God and serve Him as never before. Great is thy faithfulness. In fact, not only is God faithful, but He is the portion of His people. We consider now, in the second place, the portion of the soul. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in Him. You see how God's character is commended to us, so as to make the believer ready to say, the Lord is my portion. Jeremiah is speaking about the Lord's mercies. We are not consumed because His compassions fail not. God is continually merciful and causing us to experience His mercy. They are new every morning. Great is God's faithfulness, and how this stirs us up to say, the Lord is my portion. If God is so merciful and compassionate and faithful to us in helping us, then He is our portion. It should make us want to cleave to the Lord and prize God and His grace. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. Well, God has declared Himself to be the portion of His people. As He said to Abraham long ago, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And God's people have accepted Him to be their portion. They believe His word, and they desire Him above all things. By the grace of God, they have chosen God to be their portion. And this is the ground of their hope. This gives them encouragement to strong confidence, the fact that God is their portion. That gives them true hope, and which we'll come to see later on, the Lord willing, this evening. And because God is their God, He will certainly help them, and God's people may press on and endure, knowing that God will meet all their needs. Because He is their portion, they have true hope to go on serving Him. The Lord is the Almighty God. He is omnipotent. The perfections of God are manifest in His word. And the word Lord, as we have said before, is the name Jehovah, when you see in all capital letters, bringing before us the fact that God is the self-existent, eternal, and unchangeable God. He is an infinite being of infinite perfection. He is the living and true God. Unlike the dumb, silent idols that can do nothing, though they have eyes, they see not, though they have ears, they do not hear, God hears all things, sees all things, He knows all things, He is all-knowing, He is omniscient, and He is almighty and infinite in love, the one who helps His people, good and gracious. He is the God of grace. For His people, He is the God of their life, calling them nearer to Himself, and indeed calling sinners in the free offer of the gospel to come to Him through Christ to experience this loving relationship with God manifest in the flesh. Are you hearing His call, the free offer of salvation? Come to Him, friend, and enjoy this life in His favor. God promises to be the God of His people, and for their children too, to be their portion. And so the child of God is brought to say, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in Him. Now, what is a person's portion? When you read about the portion of Jacob, the portion of God's people. What is that? What is a person's portion? Well, the portion is what a person desires above all. What is possessed as one's own, so that the person says, this is my joy, this is what I prize. The portion is like a prized possession, like an inheritance, so that the person says, this belongs to me, this is my share. And the child of God is saying, the Lord is my portion. As David says in Psalm 16, verse 5, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. So just as a man would look at his land, and this has been passed on to him, and he prizes it, he values it as his portion in this life, so the Lord himself is the portion of the believer. The Lord is my portion. That is, God is our God, and God is our own God, the child of God may say. As Richard Sibbes puts it, nothing is so much ours as God is ours. This is a wonderful comfort that a believer may say with as great confidence and greater confidence than others that God is his. Then the other person can say, this house is mine, this treasure is mine, these friends are mine. More than other people can say, these are mine, we can say for believers that God is mine, because other things will be taken away from us. But God will never be taken away from us. We will always have God as our God. And the portion is one's treasure. And we may ask, well, what are we worth in terms of wealth? Well, if you look at the bank account, it may not be much. But if God is our treasure, then the person who has God as his treasure is worth more than worlds. And you see, our reserves will never run out if God is our treasure. As Richard Sibbes puts it, the more we spend on him, the more we may. Because our strength will never fail if our strength is the Lord's. God is our portion forever. And a person's portion is that person's happiness. One's portion makes one count himself blessed. And we may say, if we're God's people, that others have this or that to make them happy. They prize their gold, their silver, their land, their possessions. But I have the Lord himself. I am truly blessed because God is my portion. He is my life. A person's portion may be what they live for. Others live for sport, others live for music or for money, but the child of God says, I live for the Lord. He is my portion, and I live for him. So, as the psalmist says in Psalm 73, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He is my God, he is my all, he is my shield and exceeding great reward. Can you say that, friend? God, revealing himself in Christ, is my all in all. The child of God sees God as the highest good. Believers prefer God to all other things. The Lord is my portion, as the psalmist says, God, my exceeding joy. That's his desire. He says, then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God, my exceeding joy. Do we long to go to the means of grace, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his holy temple, to see God as my chiefest joy? Yes, this is a work of grace. Only the Holy Spirit can enable us to see God as the highest good. Otherwise, by nature, we choose merely the things of this life, the things that we can see and feel. But by the grace of God, believers desire God above all things. Even though We do not see Christ with our physical eyes. Christ has taken the heart of a child of God, as it has been called, the expulsive power of a new affection, so that when the heart goes out to Christ, it leaves other things behind, and it casts out other desires or other things in the heart that would take up the heart. The expulsive power of a new affection, this new affection expelling other affections. Here are living desires for the Lord. And friends, this is a work of grace, so that the child of God can put his or her amen to what the Apostle Peter says, whom having not seen, speaking of the Lord Jesus, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. God is the portion of believers in every place, in all circumstances. And whether it is in heaven or in earth, the children of God desire to see God revealing himself in Christ. As we considered a few weeks ago, they shall see his face. And friends, that is what makes heaven to be what it is. It is God revealing himself in Christ. That is the joy of heaven. And if God in Christ were not in heaven, the child of God would rather go wherever Christ is, even if it were to leave heaven. Where Christ is, that is where the heart is. And friends, that is why it's so important that we have a new heart. Jesus says, you must be born again. We need a new heart. If we don't have a new heart, will we enjoy heaven? No, because heaven is a place of endless praise and communion with God. And if we do not desire to have fellowship with Christ here on earth, why would we think heaven would be joyful to us? Oh, we need a new heart to enjoy praise and communion with Christ now, that we would go on in heaven to enjoy praise and fellowship with Christ in glory. So, the portion of God's people is God himself. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Here on earth, we get little glimpses of the glory of the Lord. And yet, as little as that glimpse is, as small as it is, yet it is more to us than all the world. We are to taste and see that God is good. Who trusts in him is blessed. We have tasted, we have seen this, the children of God. And though that taste is small, yet it means more to us than thousands of gold and silver. I have seen, the child of God may say, I have seen a little of the glory and beauty of the Lord, but that little far surpasses any beauty that I have seen here below. Yes, my heart fails, my sinful heart deceives me, but when I come to myself, I have to acknowledge freely that there is none like Christ. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Have we sheltered beneath the outstretched arms of Christ, the precious blood of Christ, to wash away our sins, to save us from the wrath to come? Do we desire Christ and the protection he gives? Do we desire Christ and the beauty that is in him, the altogether lovely Savior, so that we are brought to say with the psalmist, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Christ satisfies the longing soul. He fills the hungry soul with goodness. And so the child of God may say, and they will say when they are rightly exercised, whatever may happen to me in this world, I have contentment in Christ. He is the chiefest among 10,000. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Are we saying this of Christ? Do our hearts go out to him? Are we saying of the Lord, he is my portion? And notice how he says, saith my soul. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. In other words, Jeremiah is saying this not because he was taught to say this. It's because he felt it. He was not forced to utter this. He is expressing the inmost desires of his soul. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. It is not just a mere profession. It is not just with his lips he is saying this. He is saying this not because he was taught to say this, but because it is true, because his soul is saying it. In other words, he feels it. His heart is touched by this reality, and his inmost desires are coming to expression in these words, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. In other words, his soul was experiencing God as his life, God as his joy, peace, and happiness. It is not a once-in-a-lifetime experience. It's not just a flash of sudden emotion. It's not superficial. It's not a light impression that will soon wear off and perhaps never be experienced again, as it may have happened with many thousands in so-called revivals, where they were given an altar call and they come forward and they make a decision for Christ. It was an emotional time, but it's never experienced again, and it doesn't affect their life and their practice. No, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. And though there are times when I may feel so dead and dry, and I wonder where the joy of the Lord has gone, yet the desire for the Lord comes again, and I desire him again. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. That is the language of the heart of a child of God. My heart of hearts calls for the Lord. My inmost being yearns after thee. I feel this in my deepest part of my being. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Christ is my portion. He is the anchor of my soul, the hope of my soul. And often, or sometimes at least, I cry from the depths of my soul how I need the Lord. I cannot live without the Lord. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. He's the living God, and he's the God of my life. And when I feel that he is not near, it's as if I feel I have no life. When God seems far away, it's as if my life is drained away. I cannot live long like this. I need the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. And when he does come again, it's not something that I've never experienced before, because I have tasted already that God is good, who trusts in him is blessed. And when he draws near to my soul, I recognize it. And it's as if the Lord is coming again to me. I know it is him and it is no one else. Like John said to Peter, it is the Lord. So here is a yearning after the Lord in the hearts of believers. And no, it is not in every believer to the same degree. God gives grace in measure, in different measures to his children. And even with the same child of God, this is not always in lively exercise. But it is their disposition. It is a habitual desire. They are of this spirit. This is what they say in their hearts. They can relate to it. They long to be able to say it more, that the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. They at times do indeed have a conscious sense and exercise of that desire for God above all things. As Paul said, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And friends, because God is the portion of his people have hope. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. Thirdly, then, the hope of believers. God is the portion of his people, and that is why they may have hope. In fact, God being their portion is the only foundation of hope. There is no true hope without God being our portion. To love God supremely, to have God as our prized infinite joy, our portion is the basis of having true hope. And contrast this with others. You see, only the Lord's people look to God as their hope, but others wander here and there. Sometimes they're boasting in this or that as that which gives them joy or happiness or reason to hope for a better future. And it is by the grace of God that we may that believers have true hope in him. As John Calvin puts it, nothing is more difficult for sinners than so to fix all our hopes in God so as to disregard all other things. Even the Lord's people will struggle with this when they are tempted to put their confidence in man or in other things, human devices, when God ultimately is their true hope, and they are brought back to that again and again. And they are brought to say, why would I go anywhere else but to the Lord who is my portion? Vain is the help of man. Riches will take wings. Man will fail me. Things of this life go only so far. But the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord's people know this from experience. They are never happy unless they're putting their trust in the Lord. They may be tempted to wander off, and yet when they do wander, they feel like they're a lost sheep going astray, and they long to be brought back to the sheepfold, long to find their rest and happiness in the Lord. They are never truly at rest until their souls are resting in God. As Jeremiah says here, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. He is humbled by his afflictions the struggles that he has. When he says in verse 18, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Verse 21, he then says, this I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. For a moment he is despondent. He forgets his true resting place. Ah, but then he remembers the mercies of the Lord, that God is his portion. His heart is stirring. And so it is with the children of God when they're looking to God, their rock, God who is our life. So that they are saying, the Lord is my portion. Therefore I have hope after all, and it is God who is my hope, and I will hope in him. So the child of God says, in all the struggles, in trials and difficulties, I may be tempted to this or that, to go here or there, but really I know where to go. And that is to the Lord. He has already met my needs. As David says, thou maintainest my lot. And when I wander off, I feel like I'm a bird leaving her nest if I wander off from God. But I desire to wander no more. I desire the Lord. He is my hope as well as my portion. He has upheld me in the past. He has provided for me. The portion of my soul has been tried and tested in my experience. Therefore, I will hope in him still, that I may get good for my soul, because all that I need is from the Lord, comfort and strength and peace and joy. Therefore, I will hope in him. I will wait upon him. There is a confident expectation in God, knowing that he will help, expecting that help, and therefore there is a resulting patient waiting for the Lord, continuing to wait upon God, looking up to him, that in any moment we may receive the blessing from him, knowing that he is infinite in his ability to bestow blessings upon us, that with him there is a storehouse of blessings that will never be exhausted. You see, Jehovah is our portion. He is saying, the Lord, that is Jehovah, the infinite, eternal, and unchangeable God, the great I Am, is my portion. Therefore, we may hope. We may have true, lasting, solid hope in the Lord. And the Psalm, and Jeremiah here is saying that from experience, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. And this is an encouragement to those who are seeking the Lord to go on seeking him. As we considered earlier today, they shall go and pray unto me. Keep going on in prayer to the Lord, seeking him. Why? Because the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Verse 25. Seeking the Lord, coming to him, going to him, desiring him, turning our feet in his ways on the path of obedience. So the Lord is good, and that encourages us to wait upon him for the good that we need, hoping in the Lord, waiting upon him. And where do we stand today? Is the Lord our portion? Do we love him above all? Are we going to Christ for that salvation from sin and wrath? Or are we still determined to go on in our own ways and not yet ready to seek the Lord with our whole heart? Are we hardening our hearts against God? God is telling us, harden not your hearts. Instead, turn to the Lord. Why? Because God does not have any pleasure in punishing you. That's what he tells us, that he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. He says, turn ye from your evil way, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? And friends, God has made a way for our reconciliation. He has made a way by the death of his Son, Jesus Christ, to receive sinners into his favor. As we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Do not reject the offer of his Son. He is offering salvation to you, offering Christ to you, and you are called upon to come and receive this gift. Come and be delivered from wrath. Come and be healed in your soul. Come to him. Perhaps you feel that even now you're being punished by him, that you're being afflicted, that things are going wrong in your life. Whatever it may be, you feel God is angry with you. And are you ready to complain? The scripture here tells us, Jeremiah is speaking God's word to us in verse 39. Wherefore? Why is it? Why is it that a living man would complain? A man for the punishment of his sins. You're a living man. You're a living person. You are still here in the land of the living, here upon earth. And what does that mean? It means that there is hope for you. Consider this, that if you were punished as you ought to be, well, then you would be in a lost eternity this moment. But you are not. Therefore, there is hope. Why should a living man complain? A man complain for the punishment of his sins. You may be punished, but you're still alive. Things could be worse. As Matthew Henry puts it, I think, things could be worse. But because they are not, there is reason to hope that they may yet be better. And why? Because Christ is yet offering salvation to you. God is holding out hope to you. God is speaking to you. The Lord is knocking on the door of your heart, and he is telling you to let him come in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. The Lord does not delight to punish you. He sincerely offers life and blessing to you, life and salvation through Christ. Oh, there is hope for you. Do not let the devil tempt you to despair. Seek the Lord. Hear his voice. Come to him. He will save your soul. He will be your portion, and you will know it, and you will have hope in him. Christ for your soul, your portion forever. So that you would say, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. Friends, having God for our portion is the only way to be firm when there are calamities. It is the only way to be truly secure in a time of crisis. Having God for our portion is the only way to have real hope when things go wrong. And friend, things will go wrong. You will receive, you will go through trouble sooner or later. With many of us, what we have gone through is not much. We may not like our circumstances, but we have so many comforts that others do not have. But real trouble will come. And if God is not our portion, then we won't have real hope. We will see our hopes fail if our hope is not in the Lord himself. How we need God as our portion. We cannot have real happiness without him. But the child of God may well say, God is my reward, and therefore I am satisfied. And though all things go against me, though everything crosses my plans, yet because God is my source of happiness and contentment, I need not fear any trouble or loss. The Lord is my portion, therefore I will hope in him. And we should seek that assurance that God is our portion, to know that God is our joy and happiness. So we should go on in the ways of the Lord, looking to Christ, being diligent, being zealous of good works. We get assurance through diligence, joining zeal with meekness and loving the brethren, going on in God's ways. That is the way to be assured that God is our portion, that he is our God. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Friends, God gives us comforts through many means. We have loved ones. We enjoy our home and have various enjoyments in this life. But when comfort through these means are gone, we will still have comfort. Why? Because God is our portion. Believers have an everlasting spring that supplies them in all their needs and refreshes them in all their troubles. And this spring runs clearly and freshly when all other streams in the world are dried up and stopped. We have God as our portion. So that is the reason that the prophet Habakkuk can say, and with these words we conclude, Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flocks shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. May he bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, give us grace to draw near to thee. Teach us to pray. Put desires in our hearts for things agreeable to thy will. Oh, that we would desire Christ for our souls, and that we would shelter beneath his precious blood, being clothed in his righteousness, that all our sins may be blotted out as a thick cloud, that we would return to our Redeemer. Oh, that we would look to Jesus as the shepherd and bishop of our souls, that we would die unto sin and live unto righteousness, experiencing true healing, being delivered from the power of sin. Lord, help us that we would look to thee as our reward, as our prized possession, as our inheritance and our life, and that we would see thee to be the highest good, that Christ would be to us the pearl of great price, that God would be our exceeding joy, that we would desire to go to the courts of thy house, that our thirst after the living God may be quenched, that we would be satisfied in our souls when we see thee in the sanctuary, when we are filled with joy, when we see the goings of our God, our King, there in that place where thy honor dwelleth. Draw our hearts that we would be unified in the desire to run after thee, to honor thee and serve thee in this world. Bless, O Lord, each family who meet together, that each one in the congregation who meet around thy word would be blessed through thy word and thy spirit accompanying the word. Oh, how we need thy spirit, that sinners would be delivered from the guilt and power of sin by coming to Jesus for that. Oh, make them willing in a day of thy power to come to Christ, that they might be saved, and that Christ would be their prophet, priest, and king. Oh, may we desire a whole Christ, and desire him with our whole hearts. Receive us graciously, help us this week to honor thee, and pardon all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We shall conclude singing to God's praise from Psalm 116. Psalm 116, reading from the beginning. I love the Lord because my voice and prayers he did hear. I, while I live, will call on him who bowed to me his ear. Of death the cords and sorrows did about me compass round. The pains of hell took hold on me, I grief and trouble found. Upon the name of God the Lord, then did I call and say, Deliver thou my soul, O Lord, I do thee humbly pray. God merciful and righteous is, yea, gracious is our Lord. God saves the meek, I was brought low, he did me help afford. O thou my soul, do thou return unto thy quiet rest, for largely, lo, the Lord to thee his bounty hath expressed. We may sing these five stanzas to God's praise. Psalm 116, from verse 1, I love the Lord because my voice and prayers he did hear.
I love the Lord because my voice and prayers he did hear. I, while I live, will call
Let us conclude. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.